What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It's the beginning of another week. It is Monday. Yes, it is Monday. And as every Monday, I hope your week is off to a great start. And on Mondays, we do a little something called Metric Mondays. And it's a little bite-sized piece of information on a metric that can make a big impact on your practice. And today is a great one. Average treatment percentage. Now, some people get this wrong, but it really does show how complete your treatment plans are. And if you get this right and get everybody aligned on it, it can change your practice. So I have our Director of Education, Miranda Beeson, on today to describe this important metric. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. It is Monday. Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had an awesome weekend. Hope the weather is fantastic by you, and hope your week is off to a great start. And on every Monday, like we have been for the last, I don't know how many weeks, we do something called Metric Mondays, a little bite-sized piece of information that you can use today to improve your practice and your life. You're going to see, we're geeks about this stuff. We love this stuff. This is all we do. We work with really great practices who are looking at getting greater, and they teach us a lot of stuff. You know who else teaches us a lot of stuff? Our great coaches, and I have one of them on today. Her name is Miranda Beeson. Miranda, thank you so much for being back.
Thanks so much for having me back. I'm so happy to be here to kick off the week with everybody.
Yeah, you're going to see this. Miranda's an awesome coach, one of our leaders here. She's also our director of education. And so we've broken this down, and we've got a great treatment plan in the future. So keep showing up on Mondays. Tell your buddies and friends to show up on Mondays, and we'll give you something to improve your practice. And so, Miranda, what's the metric we're going to be talking about today?
The metric we're talking about today is one that I think is not talked about as often as maybe it should be. So we're talking about average treatment presented. So we're actually looking at the dollar amount. What is the average dollar amount of treatment presented for the cases that we present? So previously we talked about diagnostic percentage, how many or what percent of people are we presenting treatment on? And this is really just another layer of that saying, when we do present treatment, what's the average dollar amount of treatment presented? So this metric shows the size and completeness of the treatment plans we're presenting and whether we're doing reactive single tooth style dentistry or leaning toward more comprehensive care. And when we talk about this number, whether it being high or it being low, it helps us to also just have a really quick understanding of really the type of practice that we have. We talk a lot about practice models and high volume, low profit, vice versa. And so when we're looking at average treatment presented and that dollar amount, it's going to give us a little inclination into what our day feels like. Because if we have a pretty low percentage or treatment average, we're probably doing a lot of fillings, a lot of single tooth dentistry, and we have roller skates on every day. Versus when we start to trickle up in terms of that average dollar amount of treatment presented, we're probably sprinkling in some larger cases or some quadrant dentistry into the equation. And those are the days when we might have our whole morning blocked to work on an arch or a quadrant. And so things will start to feel a little bit different in the practice. So yeah, we're looking at the average treatment presented today.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk about a little bit more about the impact in the practice. If it's low, and then what happens if it's high, you know, and the long-term growth of that?
Yeah. So a low average treatment amount might indicate that you're really only addressing the chief complaint that the patient brings to you or the thing that you view as most urgent versus the whole big picture. Issues like occlusal wear or periodontal disease or even restorative sequencing of proactive needs not being addressed. Perhaps we're putting a lot of watches on things versus diagnosing bigger picture items. I often use the analogy when I'm talking with clients about, you know, are you looking at the tree on fire that the patient came in telling you about? Or are you looking at the whole forest fire and saying, well, you know, how can we catch up to what's going on here versus like, it's not going to help to just put out the fire on this one tree. Right. So I think this often shows up in things like emergency visits. I see a lot of times on clients' schedules, limited exams, emergency exams, you know, whether it be a 0140 or a 9910. And we're looking at those emergency or limited appointments, and we're just going off of what the patient is saying on the phone or what they show up and sit down in the chair for. And we treatment plan that and we move on versus how do we look at that in a different way to see if we could perhaps prevent an emergency or a limited exam in the future. I'll give a little countermeasure on that in just a few minutes. The other thing to look at is elective procedures or opportunities. So I mentioned when the average treatment amount is low, that we might only be addressing chief complaints or the things that are most urgent. You know, I always say like when the tooth is telling us what's wrong, but on the high side, we're probably being a bit more proactive. We're probably looking at the bigger picture or even the whole mouth or systemic health too. And also building in elective procedures or opportunities that we wouldn't maybe normally discuss with a patient because they're not a health risk. So for example, you know, have you ever had a patient show up for hygiene and they've gone to another practice and had aligners or cosmetic procedures? I just was talking with one of my clients last week and she had a patient show up and had veneers done somewhere else. And she couldn't believe it because they're a comprehensive dental practice, but it was never something that was brought up or discussed or even asked of the patient in terms of, you know, what do you like or not like about your smile? They'd never taken a photo and just said, what do you like about this? If you could wave a magic wand, what would you change? They never put out there that this is something we do here. So when we see this number be higher, it tends to be those practices that do. They promote those higher value, especially elective procedures that they can perform in the office. They talk about them often. They look at the big picture. They build in systemic health and really just that more comprehensive, proactive approach.
Yeah, I love that. So I have so many things to say on these things. If you're the dentist that's listening to this, this is really, really important. I'm going to say a couple of things. Number one is I personally believe money spent on dentistry is one of the best investments you could ever make. And Miranda, you'll appreciate this. So I have young adults now and they go to the dentist and like, why don't we have dental insurance? They always ask me, why don't we have dental insurance? I'm like, because we don't believe in dental insurance as a family. And they're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, it's not insurance, blah, blah, blah. That's not my point. My point is this. I tell them, like, money spent on your oral health is some of the best money you're ever going to spend. So if you want Invisalign, you want to do that. Like, we're going to reach into our pockets and believe. Now, that's what I believe. My question to you is, how much of that do you believe? And how much of that do you spend time with your team aligning around that concept alone? Because now you're removing ceilings. The other ceiling that happens in this is that you make assumptions on patients all the time. You do what's called a wallet biopsy, which means you're actually not even looking in their mouth. You're assuming what's in their wallet before you even get a chance to talk to them. So don't let your beliefs get into your patients' mouths, meaning like your job is not to decide what they value. Mm. Your job is just to tell them the truth. Just try it today. Try it. Like, just tell them I'm here. I'm going to tell you what I think is best. And then the coolest part, give the control back to them. You get to decide. I'm going to tell you the truth. The cool thing about my practice is you get to decide how far we go with all of this. And that in itself is so relieving. One last thing before we go to the next thing is that when you do what Miranda's talking about, you are officially transitioning from needs-based to wants-based. And I'll just say this. I hate And I do mean hate paying for things I need. I hate every penny. I hate every transaction. I hate every invoice on things I need. But I love spending money on things I want. Sometimes I don't care what it costs. Like if it's something I want, I'm going to be excited about paying. But when you tell me I need something, it's like whenever I get my car repaired, you need, I'm like, how dare you say that phrase to me? So it's just a big philosophical thing. So get good at telling people the truth. Now, again, I'm going to go there. Miranda, what if I'm going to listen to this and it's not great? Like, what can I do to impact this today?
Yeah, well, really quick, but I want to feed on something that you said a second ago about assumptions, because we do make a lot of assumptions or bias. And what that ends up resulting in is these like little smaller fragmented treatment plans that are spotty in our schedule and makes for less schedule efficiency, predictability. And also the patients just don't value it as much. So it speaks to exactly what you were saying about needs versus wants. And in contrast, those larger, well thought out, planned out, phased out treatment plans lead to better outcomes. So again, in our previous podcast, we talked about presenting to the outcome, not the treatment. And if we put that long-term outcome in front of the patient and allow them to decide if they want this for themselves, a lot of them will sign up for bigger treatment plans. And the other thing that they really appreciate is having the ability to see the bigger picture and then plan for it versus have to react and pay for a need in the moment. When they know there's 4 or 5 crowns coming down the line, and I'd like to be more proactive, they can kind of choose when they get to plan that into their budget and their time versus having to just wait for the tooth to explode and tell them it's time. So there's a couple of countermeasures, a couple things that people can do right off the jump to help improve this metric. So I'll jump right in. The first one is to just identify a true emergency. So I think this is a missed opportunity for a lot of teams. Patients call every single day saying that they have an emergency. And so we throw them on the schedule as a limited exam or an emergency exam. And then we treat that limited and we move on. A simple step is to transition how we think about emergencies and have a plan with your team, especially your administrative team, on how we address them. So if a patient calls for an emergency, does your administrative team have a cheat sheet or a call sheet or something documented in terms of a plan for how we qualify true emergencies? So I have a client who they just ask, tell me how you're suffering. And I'm like, oh, that's a powerful word.
Right.
But you know, a true emergency is truly suffering, something they would otherwise go to an emergency room for. So, you know, a broken, not chipped, or missing front tooth, pain, swelling, throbbing, things that they otherwise can't manage without possibly a prescription or medication. Like, how are you determining as a team what a true emergency is? And if it's not a true emergency and someone isn't suffering, are we looking at their ledger and saying, man, it's been over a year since this patient was in for their last hygiene services and exam? Could they perhaps, instead of a limited exam, be scheduled for a hygiene appointment where we can do a gum and bone evaluation as well and a full periodic or possibly even a comprehensive exam if it's been 2 or 3 years or more since they've been in, so that we can see the big picture? Now, part of that is also aligning with your team on making sure the patient knows, of course, we're going to take a look at the concern that you have, but we'll also take a look to make sure no other emergencies are right around the corner.
Yeah.
So I think that step one is just identifying when we're seeing people for emergencies that they really are true emergencies, and then trying to filter everyone else into a more thorough exam opportunity. And then the other piece is building trust and value through conversations and not just dollar signs. So, you know, we're providing a service to patients and we're providing, like you just said, it's an investment in your health. So if we're just presenting a number tied to a treatment option, that's not going to go over well to the patient. They're not going to be motivated to say, oh, heck yeah, sign me up for that, you know, $3,000 unexpected cost that you just shared with me. Without value, there really only is price. So if you're currently discussing treatment plans with patients and starting that discussion with the treatment and the dollar amount, just really shifting that to outcome-based instead. So for example, instead of, you really need a crown on that tooth. The old filling is breaking down and there's a crack. You can try instead with saying, you know, what's in it for the patient? And that might sound like that tooth has a crack. And if that spreads, it could lead to bigger problems such as tooth loss or even a root canal. What I'd like to do is to reinforce a way for you to be comfortable to prevent that tooth from breaking and be able to chew in the future without concern. The best way to do that would be to provide you with a full coverage restoration like a crown. And so it leads into that kind of sew that concept that I've shared before. We always start with why or what the outcome is, and then you can bring the treatment into the equation. If you say crown first, the patient's like cha-ching, 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 pain, time, you know, all this, all the bells and whistles start going off in their mind and they're really not thinking or listening to the rest of the statement about like why it's important. So if we lean in first to the outcome and then how we're going to be able to help them achieve that outcome, they're going to look at that dollar amount and now it's justified, versus looking at that dollar amount and having it be immediately met with objection or pushback or resistance. And again, this puts you as the guide, not necessarily like the salesperson. Like, I'm just a guide to help you get to that outcome. I'm not selling you on a crown. It's two different approaches.
I love that. Absolutely love that. You have to follow what Miranda's saying. Now, one more thing I'll just layer on this is that we have dentists all the time that talk about accountability. I want accountability from my team members. Well, the least accountable person in a lot of practices, and you know who you are, it's the dentist. So this is a number that you can hand to your assistant so that he or she can track it. Because left untracked, it doesn't improve. Not for the money, but just to hold you accountable to consistently talking about things in a way where you are the guide. And if you have a really good assistant, they'll go, listen, you were a wimp today. You didn't talk about anything. They had bone loss. You didn't even mention that. Somebody that can call you out, they're going to help you be better. And so would you agree, Miranda, having a chairside assistant track what you talk about and what you present is a good measure to improve this?
Yeah, I think that's a great measure. What you track is what you pay attention to and where you make progress. So if you aren't currently tracking this, absolutely find that person on the team that can help assist you. And an assistant's a great option, especially if you are seeing a lot of limited and emergency exams. But yeah, you can rally the team behind this. You can have hygiene tracking hygiene exams. You can have assistants tracking the exams that are happening in your restorative chair. And the goal is to see that number creep up. We say all the time, it's not a measure of perfection, it's progress. And so if you're at $200 a treatment plan right now, you know, try to get to $300 or $400. And I see people that are above $1,000 on a regular basis when they're really focused on trying to be more proactive in their treatment planning. Yeah.
So well said. So hope you guys enjoy that. Just again, Metric Monday is about giving you a little bite-sized piece of information. Do what Miranda tells you. It works. I promise you. And keep showing up on Mondays and we'll keep bringing it. So Miranda, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for sharing. We now have over 98,000 unique listeners. I don't even know what that means, but like, you guys are sharing the good word. So keep sharing the good word with the podcast. We'll keep bringing it. And again, if you're struggling with any of this, we have a lot of resources and a lot of great people back there. It's not just the information. It's not just courses, but there's an amazing community of independent dentists that are back in the BPA. And you know what? You can join them for free. You can go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and you can search Best Practices Association app. It's free. You can start your journey. You can upgrade and you can see some of the exclusive areas. Miranda has designed a ton of courses, not only for you, but for your team back there. You can also join us in the Two of the Top Study Club, or you can just, this is for the serious students. If you need a coach, we have pro coaches that come out and make you do all of this because you don't have any time to do it. So we're here to support you every step of the way. And at the end of the day, we want you to have a better practice and a better life. This is an amazing profession. If you do it right, you can have a life. I promise you. So keep showing up and we'll keep bringing it. So until you guys hear from us next time or see us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. Enjoy your Monday. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.